going away to Cotton France. I'm away to get taught. You can watch it online. Go to awme.net. So it's Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Wednesday night. Let's pray, shall we? We pray for understanding before anything we preach, because understanding is important. It's the seed that we want to get in our heart. This is not a tradition that we preach about understanding every week, but it's a biblical principle. It's a spiritual law, like we were speaking about last week. So let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we've come to gather around your word. I thank you that it is indeed the incorruptible seed. I thank you that it is the agent of change to bring about permanent change in our life. The understanding of these truths will see us transformed as we renew our minds to the truths in this word. So I pray for understanding as these seeds are planted in people's hearts, that people listen here and people listen online. I pray for understanding as the seed is planted. Understanding so the enemy cannot come and steal it away. Understanding so that seed can grow and develop. Amen. And produce the fruit that we all desire. So I pray for understanding right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. This, I think, will be the last message in our series, Giving Under the New Covenant.
You say that?
I'll say that now. Yeah, we said that. I say that now. I think it might be. And I'm going to cover a topic that I didn't want to cover, because it's got nothing to do with giving under the new covenant. And it's tithing. Oops. I have got a teaching over there somewhere in the prosperity series. We don't call it prosperity because people in the church don't like that, so we call it the P word. There is a teaching there about tithing. But as I bring them through this message, this series, I've had questions, I've had things pointed out, and tithing comes up all the time. And last week I had some, not difficult questions for the person asking, easy questions for me to answer, but a person in real turmoil about tithing. So I thought, I'm going to have to cover it again, because there is confusion in the body of Christ about tithing and about this whole, about, under the context of new covenant giving. I also want to produce another booklet, Truth Revealed series booklet about giving. So in order to be able to write that, it's really good if I just teach it and then I copy it out. So here we go. Tithing. A topic that we shouldn't be talking about, because it has got nothing to do with new covenant giving. But I've had the questions. Do I have to tithe? What happens if I don't tithe? Here's what I got last week, and I quote, "If I stop tithing, will God get me?" Seriously. But as I go on, I will just, if you don't tithe, you're robbing God and you are cursed. Yes, we laugh about that. But that's written in the Bible. And folk teach it. It's hard to be old covenant and we live under the new covenant. We're under grace, not under the law.
Amen.
It's vague. But there's a lot of confusion, a lot of wrong teaching. I had a quick trawl of a few sites the other night, and some of the verses that I am using to teach New Covenant giving are the very verses that people are using to teach that you have to tithe. Galatians 6:6 I spoke about. If you're being taught the word, you need to communicate or partner with those that are teaching you the good things. What they're teaching you that is tithing. I would challenge you to go back and look at Galatians 6:6 and see whether number 10 and persuade is in there. It's not. What happens if I don't tithe? Do I have to tithe? If I stop giving to my tithe, will God hate me? Why have I got to tithe? So let's look at this. And we'll look at what the Bible says. But first thing I did, I looked at a definition of tithe. And the tithe can be a noun or it can be a verb. And in the noun, I really like this version. Listen to this carefully. Listen to the one word that I like. Okay? One-tenth of annual produce or earnings formerly taken as a tax for the support of the church and clergy. Formally. Let me read out the definition that I think the church thinks tithing is. One-tenth of annual produce or earnings taken as a tax for the support of the church and the clergy. That is what the majority of the church teaches today. And I have to stand up here and say the majority of the grace preachers that I admire and respect teach the tithe. And I don't know why. It's not biblical, I will show you. And then there's the verb, pay or give us a tithe. He tithes 10% of his income to the church. That is the definition. It is giving, disagree with me if you like, but would you agree that if you hear the term tithe, you would think that means giving 10% of all your income to your local church? Yeah. That's the definition of tithe. Are you kind of, are you happy with that? As is what traditionally taught in church. Giving 10% of all of your income to the local church. I went on another website which went into marvellous detail about how it's pre-tax, not post-tax. Because your tithe is first fruits. You give first of all you give to God, and then you give to the tax man. So if you're sitting there thinking, oh, it's post-tax, I'm sorry, you're wrong. You need to get pre-tax. So, yes, 10% of all your income to your local church. And then you have offerings. But I want to give extra to the church. I want to give to my minister. I want to give to Walter in Pakistan. I want to give to Sundar in India. I want to give to Shellabox. Whatever. Andrew Womack Ministries. Whatever. That's over and above your tithe. That's offerings. Isn't that what we're taught? Mm-hmm. You give your tithes and then you give your offerings. And you have to do it. You have to do it. Is what people are taught. Turn to 2 Corinthians 9:7. The verse that I say is the one that encompasses everything that I want to teach about new covenant giving. Tithing is having to give 10%. Okay? 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 is definitely a new covenant verse, yes? Mm-hmm. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart. Every man shall give 10%. No. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Where in that verse can you fit tithing in? Nowhere. You choose whether to give. Actually, that verse is kind of saying not giving is not an option. It's not explicit, but it's kind of tied in there. You choose how much you give, and you give it cheerfully. Not because Pastor Vic says you've got to give 10% to run this church. That's not, tithing just doesn't fit in with that verse at all. New covenant giving. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. You decide how much. If you decide 10%, that's fair enough.
You're
scared. Sometimes you can calculate 10%. You know what? For ease of purpose, that's fine. If you decide 10%, that's brilliant. But you decide how much. You decide where to give. You decide where to give into. I, the Holy Spirit, will help you decide that. He'll guide you. He'll suggest things. But he'll not say, you give 10% or I'm going to get you. That's what people teach. Now, tithing, folks, is old covenant. Looking around the room, are we any Jewish people in the room today? No Jewish people. Okay, tithing is not for you then, because you're a Gentile. You're not a Jew. Look through the Old Covenant. Tithing was under the Mosaic law for the people of Israel to pay for the Levitical priesthood. I'm not a Levite. I'm before us. You need to give so that I can keep running this ministry, but you don't have, you choose to give, you don't have to give because you're under the Mosaic law and of the Jewish nation to keep me as a Levitical priest. You don't have to. That's what the tithe was for. I'm not going to get into great detail, but you can look up the scriptures, look up tithe in the Old Covenant and read it for yourselves. It was instigated for the Jewish nation to pay for the priesthood, because they were told, you shall not work. All you will do is be the priesthood, and the other 11 tribes will pay for it. And they'll pay for it by giving 10% of everything. Actually, they'll pay for it by giving either 23% or 33% of everything, depending on how you interpret the scriptures. If you're sitting there thinking, no, sorry, Vic, I disagree with you, I want to tithe, you ought to be giving at least 23% and possibly up to 33% of everything to me. That's the I might have this written the wrong way. No. It's 23 or 33%. I'm not going to get into great detail. Look it up. You do up study, Kate, and you come and tell me. But you can work out it. Just add up all the little bits that they say. You shall do this, you shall do this, you shall do this. Folk disagree. Some folks say it's 23%. Some folks say it's 23%. Not on the 10, so it's 33. It is not just 10%. If you want to tithe. People who teach tithing won't tell you that, will they? Oh, I'm 10%. What happens if you go What happens if you go to a church that teaches tithing and you can't get there one week? What does the minister tell you? Keep it for next week? No. Go out and buy strong drink according to Deuteronomy 14:26. Look it up.
It's there.
If you want to do tithing the right way, do it the right way. If you can't get there one week to pay your tithe, don't store it up. Oh no, go and spend it for whatever your soul lusteth after. Deuteronomy 14:26. And it gives you examples. I like the strong drink bit. And then it says, consume it with your family and your friends and rejoice.
Amen.
If you cannot pay your tithe one week, because see, tithing you have to go to the temple. We don't have temples now. That's okay. That's okay. We teach this the church. So if you go to church, you bring your tithe to the church, to the storehouse. That's why the local church is your storehouse. Oh, I can't go 1 week. Like you said, save that up and take it next week. No, no, no. Do it properly. Go and get a bottle of Johnny Walker Black Label and enjoy it with your friends. Does also say oxen, you can spend it on a good steak. It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? And that's good. It's under the Old Covenant. It's Mosaic law. There's pictures in there for us. I haven't quite sussed it out yet. What's a picture of not paying your time and spending on drink instead? What does that tell us about a new covenant? I'm not sure yet. But that's what they were under. The Mosaic law, they were under that. That is what the word says. When folks say to you, the word says you shall tithe, you say, I'm sorry, I can't do this. We have to spend on a strong drink on an ice cream. Or both. Some of you are looking at me like, Brett has gone nuts. Deuteronomy 14, 26, or 25. Well, 24. If the way be too long for thee, for are they not able to carry, or if the place too far away from thee, if you can't get to the temple, if you can't get to your church, then thou shalt turn into money and bind up the money in thine hand, and thou shalt bestow that money for whatever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen or for sheep, or you can have mutton and lamb. Or for wine, if you don't like strong drink, I might buy some nice wine. But listen, or for strong drink. Or for whatsoever thy soul desireth, and thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. Hallelujah. If I don't have to tie hungry, go out and party. That's what it is saying. If you want to be under the Mosaic law and you want to tie, do it properly. Do you grow things in your garden? I want a tenth of that. Everything. I demand a tenth. Guys, we can laugh. But that is what it was teaching. The way it was set up, this tithe, you had to give 10% of everything of your substance to the Levite priests. If you want a tithe, do it properly. And I would say this to churches and ministers that teach tithing. If you want to teach that, do it properly. Tell your people to come 1 week just to go out on a party with a tithe. Do it properly. You know, we can laugh. We can laugh, but there's a serious point here. Tithing was instigated under the Mosaic law for the Jewish nation to pay for the Levitical priesthood. It was a requirement of the Mosaic law on Israel to pay for the Levitical priesthood. Guys, we shouldn't even be talking about this. There is no such thing as a Christian tithe. No such thing. We shouldn't even be talking about it. We are not under law, but we live under grace. We are not the Israeli nation. We are not the Jewish nation. We are Gentiles. There is no Levitical priesthood. I say yes, there are ministers, there are pastors, there are priests. People need to contribute in order for the church to keep going. And you do. But it's not a tithe. You choose. You are cheerful. You give out of your heart and you give out of love, not out of necessity. Guys, the day I demand that you give me money, you should be looking at that door and heading out. The day I demand that you have to give me 10%. That's just not right. The scriptures, look, like I said, I don't want to get into great detail, but the scriptures talk about the tithe being your first fruit. You have to give the first of what you get to God. Look up 1 Corinthians 15:20 with me. Let's look at some more New Covenant scripture. tithe under the Mosaic law was said to be your first fruit giving. You gave that first fruit. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You don't have to tithe. Christ is your first fruit.
Amen.
He fulfilled the Mosaic law so that we don't have to. He paid so that we don't have to. In a sense, he went to the cross so that we don't have to tithe. Because
yeah.
It was all done away with. Awesome. Abba. Abba. Remember when I was teaching on forgiveness, I mentioned the what about verses. Well, there's a few questions. What about and tithing? A few. But. Tithing was pre-law. So tithing has got nothing to do with the law. So tithing still holds under the new covenant. Anybody heard that?
Yeah.
Tithing was pre-law. So doesn't matter that the law's gone. Tithing is still here. I don't want to be too scathing because that is what my favourite and most respected teacher teaches. But hallelujah, even he can be wrong. And here's the argument. Pre-law, Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek. Now there's a clue in what I said there. Abraham chose to give to Melchizedek. But let's take it literally. Let's say we have to do that. That's okay. Because the only tenth we should be giving is the tenth that we get from the spoils of war. Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of the spoils of battles. There's no evidence in Scripture that he gave anything of his own. In that instance, it was after a battle, he took all the spoils, and he gave a tenth of that. So using that argument, well, this is pre-law, my reply is, yeah, but only for the spoils of war. Haven't you been to war lately, got some spoils? My God, tithe. Oh, but back, it was pre-law. It was pre-law. Yeah. So was circumcision. So was animal sacrifices. And seeing as we're talking about Abraham, so was going into your wife's maids. Am I allowed to do that in the new covenant? If your argument is that this is a form of tithing and it was pre-law, well, let's keep the circumcision going and let's keep the animal sacrifices going. And Abraham did that pre-law. Is that okay today? I don't see many tithing ministers preaching that. Pre-law argument is a nonsense. It doesn't hold water. One, it was a spoil of war. Hebrews 7 tells us that. And Genesis 14, as you read before. It's a spoil of war. It's not an example of tithing. And it does say, just in case you don't believe me, Genesis 14. And I think it's verse 20. Yeah, it says, and he gave him tithes of all. He gave. He chose to give. He wasn't forced. Melchizedek didn't come along and say, give me my 10%. But that's what the law does. So the Levitical priesthood said, give me my 10%. So that, no. It's a spoil of war for you. Spoils of war. And it doesn't matter that it was pre-law. There's lots of stuff that was pre-law that we didn't need these days. But, Carol, you will be cursed if you don't pay your tithes because you are robbing God. Has anyone heard that? Take your 10% into the storehouse. If you're not taking your 10% into the storehouse, you are robbing God. Now, that is in the Bible. Turn to Malachi. Near the end of the Old Testament. Right at the end. Isn't it hard to find out these books at the end of the Old Testament? Malachi is the easiest one to find, it's right at the end. Try to find some of the other things. Malachi 3, I'll read from 7. Even from the days of your fathers who were gone away from mine ordinances, I've not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But he said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The teaching that is alive and well in the church is pay your tithe and God will bless you. Do not pay your tithe and he will curse you. It is alive and well. I checked that last night. There are lots of places teaching that. If you don't pay your tithe, you are going to be cursed. Pay your tithe and you're going to be blessed. That sounds like your new covenant, God. No. Malachi 3, 7 to 12. Got two words to say that old covenant. Are you living under the old covenant? Are you living under grace?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This says, if you pay your tithe, if God will open up the window of heaven, and he will bless you. Turn with me to Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You are already blessed. You don't have to pay your tithe to be blessed. You are blessed. That's what the word says. Malachi is old covenant, new covenant is, you have already been blessed because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing to do with what you do. Pay your tithe, it's a work. Pay it, well, let's do a work and God will open up the heavens and bless me. God has opened up the heavens and blessed us already. Jesus came down, the Holy Spirit is down, we are blessed.
Hallelujah.
Do not let anyone preach to you that Malachi 3 is for you. Take your 10% in the storehouse, you will be blessed. At the worst, that's wrong teaching. Sorry, at the best, that is wrong teaching. At the worst, that is a lie of the devil, and it's a deliberate lie to get your
money. Oh.
There. Oh, what's that? I have to be honest and say, as I was studying for this, I was getting so angry. So angry that the body of Christ is being deceived. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that all the people that teach this are deliberately trying to deceive people. That is their understanding. And, you know, if they don't have an understanding of New and Old Covenant, pre-cross, post-cross, if they're just teaching what the Bible says, that is what the Bible says. That is what the Bible says. Some people are teaching that. It's not known about Old Covenant and New Covenant. Now, I'm not saying all people that teach that are liars and deliberately try to deceive you. But it just gets me angry when I hear people teaching that, trying to get your money. Well, actually, not trying to get your money. Trying to get God's money. Because everything you've got is from Him. Malachi 3 is not for you. God will not pour out His blessings dependent upon how much money you get. You have already been blessed. You already have all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. You already have all those things. That's 2 Peter 1 verse 3. You have all these blessings already. Because you could get not one, you could get, well, I'm going to say this. If you give nothing again to the church, you still have all spiritual blessings.
Amen.
Oh. And if I'm annoyed at that, for somebody to say, if you don't tithe, you are going to be cursed, is wrong and evil. I'm going to be cursed by God because I don't do something. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is anyone that hangeth on a tree. You haven't hung on a tree, He hung on a tree, He was cursed for us. We will never be cursed by God again.
Hallelujah.
Ever.
Hallelujah.
Irrespective of whether you pay your tithes or not.
Hallelujah.
We cannot be cursed. Because He has been cursed. He paid the price. The law is finished. Malachi 3 is all something that's not for us.
Hallelujah.
To say that is antichrist. To say that is against Christ. Against His finished work. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Because His work is finished. And for anyone to say you will be cursed if you don't pay your tithe, they haven't been rightly dividing Scripture. I'm sorry for that. When I say I don't like preachers that shout, I'm sorry if I'm coming across a bit shouty today.
Preach it, brother.
But I will not have someone saying that the people of God will be cursed. Because I know what Jesus Christ has done.
Amen.
It's not about what we've done, it's what about Jesus Christ has done. He cursed because he hung on the tree. For someone to say that you will be cursed because you don't tithe, they don't know what Jesus Christ has done. To answer the question for last week, if you don't tithe, God's not going to get you. Jesus has paid the price. Jesus was cursed. That was one of the great exchanges that took place on the cross. Jesus was cursed so that we wouldn't be cursed. Not under the curse of the law. That's what tithing is. Remember, it's part of the Mosaic law. Yeah, back then, if you didn't do it, you would be cursed. God, that was the system God put in place. That was the old covenant. It's not for us. New covenant. Grace. Ah, but Vic. Jesus endorses tithing in the Bible. Now, much as I don't want to have a go at other preachers, this is where, honestly, it gets laughable. Jesus endorses tithing. Let's go to Matthew 23. And it's the same, if you're taking notes, it's the same in Luke 11:42. Same account, but look at Matthew 23. And the verse I want to focus on is 33, but I don't know where I'm going to read from. So I'm not going to say a verse because that's the back of the way you laugh at me. That's not even the verse. What's it, 23? Here is Jesus endorsing tithing. Okay? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For he paid tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Jesus mentioning tithing in his tirade against legalism and against religion is not endorsing tithing. Jesus is saying, you think you're great because you tithe, but you've got no mercy. And what else? No judgment, no faith. Oh, but you tithe. He's just saying, oh, well done. Oh, well done, you tithe. And you don't do any of the weightier things. See, he's even relegated tithing down the line. That's an endorsement of tithing? No. It's almost, I know Jesus wouldn't be sarcastic, but it's almost like he's saying, oh, you tithe, oh, well done. That's not an endorsement of tithing. And Luke 11:42 is the same. He also endorses tithing in Luke 18. And he spoke this parable, verse 9, unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So, he is endorsing tithing by speaking to whom? Those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Already that sounded like a ringing endorsement. So he's speaking to these self-righteous religious people who despises others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. An endorsement of tithing? No way. Jesus is saying, this guy said, look at me, I fast, I tithe, aren't I fantastic? And Jesus says, no, I'm sorry, you're not justified. That guy over there who says he's a sinner, he's justified. This is not an endorsement of tithing, this is where it gets laughable. These verses have been used as an endorsement about tithing because Jesus speaks about it, that's all. Launching a tirade against religion and against self-righteousness. No, Jesus doesn't endorse the tithe. Oh, but there must be tithing in the New Covenant, Beck. There must be. The vast majority of churches teach it up to tithe. Remember, those verses that Jesus spoke are actually still Old Covenant. Because it's pre-cross. So, well, there has to be that, because everybody teaches it. There must be New Covenant scriptures about tithing. Go home and search it. You will not find it except Hebrews 7, which is talking about Abraham and Melchizedek. Yeah. So there's no passages in the Bible about New Covenant about tithing. And that is correct. Not one. And yet, as a church, we teach it. I mean, go and look at Hebrews 7. It's really fascinating. Yeah. It's talking about... Sorry, it's just sounding a bit like a tirade, isn't it? You can probably see I'm quite passionate about this. Slightly. What was I looking for? Hebrews 7. Thank you. If you read that from the start, it's all about tithing, it's about the Levitical priesthood, it's about law. There is a verse in there when it says it's about, yeah, and Abraham gave the tenth of his spoils. So this is where we get this verse about it being a spoil of war. But this is talking about all about tithing, about being part of the Levitical priesthood, about being part of the law. And it goes on and on and on. And then it comes to verse 12 and it says, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. After talking all about Levitical priesthood and tithing, then the writer to Hebrews says, now that's all changed. There is a change of priesthood. Why? Because Jesus was not a Levite. Who's our high priest?
Jesus.
He can't be. He's not a Levite. Ah, but there's a change of priesthood. So there's a change of law. Change of covenants. The high priest used to be the only person who could go in to the presence of God and deal with the sins of the people. Only the high priest. And that could only be a person of the tribe of Levi. Only the high priest could go in. When Jesus dealt with our sin, he went into the presence of God Almighty in heaven, not in the temple or the tabernacle. He went into the very presence of God in heaven. According to the law, he shouldn't have been allowed. Couldn't have been a high priest, he wasn't a Levite. But there was a change of priesthood. Jesus became our high priest. There was a change of law. And that stuff that came before, Mosaic law, Levitical priesthood, tithing, animal sacrifices, circumcision, all done away with. All of it. Oh. There is no tithing in the Christian church. It was law. So hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That means I don't have to give any money. No. Get the last six teachings of this evening. When I tell them, when we've told you, none of you said it was week after week after week, you really should give. We don't demand it. That's law. But you really should give. This is not an excuse to not give money. When we put it up on the internet the last time, you don't have to tithe was a title that was the most hit so hard for ages. My God, I spoke up the title because I don't have to give any money. And then I can imagine them listening, and halfway through saying, ha ha ha, but you need to give. You really should give. But you don't have to tithe. So we're talking in the car, coming down. How much have I got to give? Is the wrong attitude, that's tithing. How much do I get to give? This new covenant grace. Very subtle change in the words, but very important. How much have I got to give? Now, be honest with yourself. If you're thinking that, you've got a low mentality. How much have I got to give? That's not what we should be asking ourselves. It's how much do I want to give? How much should I give? Where should I give into? What should I give this week? Who should I give it to this week? Lots of questions you should be asking yourself. Lots of questions you should be asking the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what should I be giving this week? Holy Spirit, is there someone sitting in this room right now you want to give some money to? Is there any ministries out there that you are being led towards you want me to give to? Verse after verse after verse shows us that there's no tithing now in operation.
Hallelujah.
Unless you don't rightly live to write the word.
Amen.
I wasn't going to say unless you twist scripture, but that's probably been a bit harsh. Unless you don't rightly divide the word. How on earth people can take Matthew 23, Luke 11, and Luke 18 and say that's Jesus endorsing tithing? Jesus, do you see what else he says about these people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not going to that, but he just... He gave them what for? This was Jesus sorting out religious bigots. Not Jesus endorsing tithing. So that's tithing. Hopefully answered. You probably need to turn down the volume today. It has nothing, friends, it has nothing to do with New Covenant giving. Absolutely nothing. Even the term Christian tithing is an oxymoron. We shouldn't even say it. Now I think some of the times when people say that, they just use the word tithe, and they're not forcing people, and they're not demanding it. I think it's just semantics, and it can be exchanged for the word offering. I've heard people say, oh, well, we'll take up our tithes now, God was a cheerful giver, and you just give what you want. That's giving, that's an offering. Some people just use the word tithe, interchangeable with offering. But there are places that teach that thou shalt give 10% or you're going to be cursed. That is a no-no. I have one other question. Can I give 10%? Fine. Do you want that? Is that what you purpose it in your heart? Are you cheerful in doing that? Are you giving that willingly? Are you giving that out of love? Give it. Don't get hung up on this 10% thing. I know a few people that say, well, I like giving 10%. That's what I feel right with. That's what I want to give. I'm happy doing that. And like I said before, it's nice and easy to calculate. This week we've got a long one. That's how much you have to give. Well, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. If you want to give 9% cheerfully, hallelujah. If you want to give 11% cheerfully, hallelujah, that's great. But it is down to you. There's nothing at all down to what me telling you what you have to give. You must give 10% to support me. That's tithing, and that is biblically wrong. If you want to give 10%, that'll be great. What I find is, the more you cheerfully give, the more you fall in love with the Lord, you forget about percents. You just forget about the numbers. And you just give.
Amen.
New Covenant giving is all about you deciding, purposing in your heart, along with the guidance from the Holy Spirit, you decide what you want to give. Do you think this is a good work? Yeah, I would recommend you really should be given. If you don't think it's a good work, I don't want you to be given anyway. You know, if you are being taught by people out there, if you're listening to people, if you really respect a teacher, I would recommend that you should give them some support. I mean, we've looked at loads of verses through them, and trying to sum up the last 6 weeks really quickly. The Word tells us to partner with ministries. The Word tells us not to muzzle the ox, you know, that the labourer is worthy of his reward. There are scriptures that tell us we really should be paying, as it were, for our Christian ministers, our Christian teachers. The Word is pretty clear on that. The Word is also clear in saying you should be helping the orphans, you should be helping the widows. You know, help the folk in the fellowship that need help. That's a form of giving. There's loads of scriptures, and we've gone through them in the last 6 weeks, that tell us our money's not our own anyway. Everything that we've got we've been given by the Lord. And all he's asking for is you to cheerfully decide to give a little bit back. And he's not even saying 10%. He's saying you give back whatever you want to give back. What I find is he normally prompts you to give more than 10%, but not right, guys. But If you're not in a place there to do that, and you're cheerfully giving 1, 2, 3%, hallelujah. God will honour that. God is happy with that. What does it say? God loves a cheerful giver. Not that he likes you giving, he likes the attitude. He likes that action. He's not going to like you anymore or like you any less. But he likes the action of you giving. Really. Quantities and percentages does not matter. It's the heart attitude. And now you can spoke about sowing and reaping.
And that bountifully, what was that again? To invoke blessings.
Yeah. Invoke blessings. Invoke prosperity. If you're giving in praise and giving to bless someone, you will get back things that will praise you, that you will be blessed with, that will help you prosper. Okay. It's all in there, in the scriptures, and in our teaching series. You need to get them all if you haven't heard them. New covenant giving, nothing to do with tithing, and all to do with what you decide.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.